Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 114 of the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by Destinations with Character Travel. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. And for those of you watching the video version, you can see that Seth is in a new vicinity.
Yes, today. I'm not in my usual cave. Today, I am at the Contemporary Resort at Walt Disney World, attending Destination D23, which is a big convention here celebrating the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World. We got to hear a bunch of cool announcements that we'll be talking about a little bit later. I got all sorts of swag. Apparently, I'm getting an Amazon Echo or a show, the one with the video screen and everything. Woo. Totally worth it. But it was also IAPA this week. So between IAPA, which is a huge industry, amusement industry convention, and D23, it has been a packed week. So I'm going to be taking a nap next week, all next week.
We'll tune in and
But how are you doing, Brittany?
I'm doing good. I have been up working on things for D23 virtually this morning.
Yep.
But yeah, just keeping up with everything IAPA and D23. I'm seeing Ghostbusters Afterlife later this evening.
I'm so jealous. I got to see Encanto yesterday, which no spoilers allowed yet. It comes out on the 24th, but I highly recommend it. I'd say it's my favorite Disney CGI animated film, definitely since Tangled and maybe ever. So
Moana,
definitely
Moana
check that one out. But
up there,
I definitely liked it better than my Moana. I'd say it's my favorite Lin-Manuel music since Hamilton. So.
Wow. Yep. High praise.
Definitely, I gave it a thumbs up. Yep.
Very good. Well, I will definitely have to tune in if I get, hopefully I'll get a screener or something, but I would go to the theater to see it.
I would say that one's worth going to the theater for.
We have a lot to talk about this week, and I want to keep Seth under an hour so he can hit all of the panels and things today. So let's go ahead and get into the news. First up this week, coming out of IAPA Expo, the world's first cryptocurrency meme virtual roller coaster. It's like a Mad Libs word salad. Is coming into existence in 2022.
Coming into existence, hopefully. I got to tell you, of all the things at IAPA, you know, there was a lot of great stuff announced. Garner Holt is building an animation makers lab for Give Kids the World. There are, you know, big donations made to charities, new attractions that are actually being built. And the one thing that goes viral, the one thing that hits is the Doge coaster. First of all, this is not a real roller coaster. I know some people report at first as if this was a physical thing that was being built. This is a company called Enter Ideas has a concept for a high-speed looping coaster simulator. If you remember arcades back in the late 80s, Sega had an arcade machine called R360 that basically did the same thing. It's a little pod that flips you upside down, except you're wearing a VR helmet. And in order to get media attention, they came up with the idea of building a virtual reality coaster that rises and falls with the price of Dogecoin, cryptocurrency. They want to go to the moon with this one. It got attention. Whether it is something that will ever be available for sale or something you would want to try. I saw them working on the simulator a number of times. I never actually saw it up and running. I feel like this is probably more of a meme than an actual attraction at this point.
Yeah.
But who knows? It could be coming in the future.
I mean, Tesla is based here in Austin now, and mm-hmm. Elon is a big Dogecoin fan. So maybe I will get
Do you think he's really a fan, or do you think he's just trolling everyone? Do you think he, like, promotes these things sometimes just because he wants to see what people will go along with?
I feel like it's kind of a bit of both, because every time he mentions Doge, it goes up in value. So
it does, but it also seems like a giant troll to me.
Yeah.
So,
who knows?
We will see. We'll see. So, yes, as far as we know, Elon has not invested in this company, but who knows? Maybe he will be the first to ride the virtual coaster. They say quarter one of 2022, but they are still looking for, you know, partners and stuff like that. So who knows? Maybe they got enough attention out of IAPA that this will actually happen.
Yeah. Busch Gardens Tampa Bay has opened up its newest offering, Build-A-Bear Workshop, with some exclusive accessories and outfits for the characters yesterday, the time that we're recording this, on November 19th.
These are super cute. Build-A-Bear, I mean, you know these from malls all over the country. But while most Build-A-Bears are focused on bears, if you go to Busch Gardens, you can make one out of an elephant, a tiger, or all sorts of endangered animals that are featured at the Busch parks. A similar store opened up at SeaWorld not long ago, and they're super cute. Not terribly cheap, but super cute.
And then Star Wars Galaxy's Edge at Disneyland only, I want to make that clear, is celebrating Life Day, the one holiday that George Lucas wishes would vanish into the void forever with a bunch of food.
Be fair to Florida. They got all sorts of fun stuff to sell. If you don't know Life Day, Star Wars Holiday Special from 79. Look it up. You can find it pirated on the internet. It's one of those things that George Lucas famously said he would smash every copy in existence if he could, because it's terrible. It's wonderful. It's terrible. So Life Day, obviously, you can tell that George Lucas no longer owns Lucasfilm, because Disney has taken Life Day and run with it. They are exploiting the heck out of it. I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up re-releasing the original on Disney Plus one of these days. And if you're out in California, you've got Katsaka's Kettle, which is where you get the popcorn. They have what looks sort of like a Indian samosa with a spicy cilantro yogurt sauce. I've heard that one's really tasty. They've got a macaroon that is toasted with passion fruit buttercream and sesame pralines. They've got a noodle bowl at Docking Bay 7. Oga's Cantina's got a pork belly skewer. I want it all, and I'm really, really annoyed that none of this is coming to Florida. It's just not fair.
Yes. They also have a new cocktail at Oga's Cantina called the Tarkinian Nightflower. It's a blend of gin and elderflower liqueur with ginger and huckleberry, and it's garnished with an edible sweet hibiscus flower, and it's priced at $18.
To keep the flower.
Oh, I would hope so. and it comes from a 1998 expanded universe novel called Rebel Dawn.
That's a pretty deep cut. I consider myself a Star Wars fan, but I didn't know that one.
These offerings are available now through January 9th, 2022, and it looks like they are going to be Disneyland exclusive because Life Day has already come and gone. So.
I do know that they had some merchandise in Disney World for Life Day, but you know, hopefully next year. I remember last year they released a limited edition Boba Fett doll based on the holiday cartoon that I picked up. So hopefully this will keep growing.
Yes, put it on Disney Plus. Peppa Pig Theme Park announced this week during IAPA Expo that they will be opening as a certified autism center. First thing when it opens next year.
Yeah, when I was talking about positive heartwarming stories out of IAPA. This is what I was talking about. They've got a really cute balloon ride. You know, it's basically a dressed up Dumbo ride, but you're going to ride in a hot air balloon basket, and the vehicles are wheelchair accessible. A really neat kind of mechanical system. It allows easy loading of kids with disabilities. And they were showing that off on the IAPA floor and making a point that, you know, this is a big part of Peppa Pig is going to be accessibility for everyone. And that includes guests with autism. So they're going to be teaming up with International Board of Credentialing and Continuing Education Standards, IBCCES, to be accredited as a certified autism center. And that should be ready to go when it opens in late February of next year.
And that credentialing comes from staff training and in-park materials like guide maps and safe spaces, quiet spaces, sensitivity training. And that commitment goes beyond just the opening of the park. They will continue that education with staff throughout the life of the park as well. And the staff are officially called Puddle Jumpers, which I think is really cute.
Yeah. No, I think this is great because, to be honest, you know, even though the Disney and Universal, SeaWorld also are really accommodating towards people with disabilities and autism, the parks are just so big and overwhelming. And I think that, you know, Legoland and especially Peppa Pig is going to be the perfect scale for, you know, kids with these issues to be able to enjoy it without, you know, going into a meltdown just over the volume and the size and the intensity of everything.
Yeah. So lovely news, heartwarming news to hear out of IAPA. D23, prior to Destination D23 this weekend, has announced their lineup of events for 2022 and the return of in-person offerings.
This Destination D23 that I'm at right now, I guess, is the first big in-person event that they've done. And they're going full bore for D23 Expo 2022 that takes place in Anaheim. That's the ultimate Disney fan event. It's going to be September 9th through the 11th. And mark your calendar for January 20th. This is going to be a big event. That's when the tickets are going to go on sale. So if you want them, you're going to need to probably sit there online, staring at your computer for hours and hours on January 20th to get those tickets.
I'm already stressed thinking about it. some of the other events that they announced were a trip to Walt's Marceline, a window dedication for Dave. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, it's Marceline, Missouri, Walt's hometown. They're going to be doing another event there. So that's really great. And as you're saying, Dave Smith, who is the original Disney Archives founder, he is finally getting his window on Main Street in Disneyland, and D23 is going to be there to celebrate on January 24th.
We'll have Bedknobs and Broomsticks' Golden Anniversary on the Walt Disney Studios lot, a member mixer during Star Wars Celebration in May 2022, also in Anaheim. Thank goodness that they moved that, because it was going to be back-to-back 23. The return of the Walt Disney Studios official tour, milestone anniversaries for Lilo and Stitch, Hercules, Aladdin, and Muppet Christmas Carol. D23 Nights with Disney Theatrical, covering the North American tours of The Lion King and Frozen, the Broadway productions. Magic with Walt Disney Imagineering, signature events like advance and opening night screenings of movies, Mickey's of Glendale, the Walt Disney Imagineering exclusive merchandise store opening to gold members, and a Hocus Pocus themed Halloween event, and the return of Light Up the Season in December as part of D23's Season of Magic.
One more thing that I don't see on this list but was announced today is that there is going to be a worldwide tour of the Disney Archives, and that tour is going to kick off in 2023 in Philadelphia at the Franklin Institute, and you're going to be able to see items from the archives going all around the world, and that's also going to be previewed at the next D23 event.
Oh, wow. I was just thinking about that. I watched Inside the Walt Disney Archives last night and was hoping that they would bring something to Austin, maybe. Minecraft, if you are a gamer, has brought the magic of Magic Kingdom to a server near you with a new DLC pack for Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary.
This is available for the Bedrock edition of Minecraft. If you got an Xbox Game Pass subscription, you now have both Bedrock and Java Edition Minecrafts included. And, you know, back during the pandemic, I reported a bunch on some Minecraft-based theme parks. You know, people have been building these as fans for years and years, but this is the first time I can think of that a theme park, you know, maybe Roller Coaster Tycoon back when it was licensed by Six Flags, but this is pretty unique for a theme park to officially extend their brand into the video gaming space.
Yeah. I mean, there were the classic, the Disneyland Adventures games on Xbox Connect back in the day. I bought this. It's only like $10 in Minecraft coins. I haven't played it yet, but you're able to ride certain attractions like Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, Space Mountain, Jungle Cruise, Haunted Mansion, and they all have their ride audio embedded into the experience. You can buy merchandise like Mickey ears and spirit jerseys. You can meet characters in the parks, even collect virtual autographs from characters. They really tried to pack everything into this.
Yeah, even a fireworks show at night. I got to give it a try and see it, like I said, how it compares to some of the fan-built ones that people have been working on for years. But it's definitely got a lot of detail in there. And for less than 10 bucks, if you've already owned Minecraft, it might be worth checking out.
Yes. The Swan Reserve, Walt Disney World's newest hotel, officially opened to guests last weekend.
I feel like we've been waiting on this one for years. I have not made it over there yet, but the pictures in the video, it looks really lovely.
Josh actually stayed there last week when he was in town and said it was extremely nice and very close to Epcot and Disney's Hollywood Studios.
It's a great location. You can walk to both parks.
Yeah. It features 349 guest rooms that include 151 suites, floor-to-ceiling views of the resort, a Mediterranean signature restaurant, a grab-and-go cafe, a scenic pool area with an elevated deck and fire pit, and, of course, staying there, you get the Walt Disney World benefits like early park entry or extended evening park hours, and thank goodness it's open now. I feel like it's been under construction for forever, but you can make your reservations now. And then Disneyland Resort has welcomed back the holidays with the return of A Christmas Fantasy, Believe in Holiday Magic, fireworks, and more. Looks like we are experiencing some technical difficulties.
I'm still here. I can hear you. I'm back.
Okay.
I just have absolutely nothing to say about Disneyland Christmas. I love a lot of things about Disneyland Christmas. The thing that I want to know if it's back is the candy canes, the handmade candy canes that people line up. I'm glad that the Believe fireworks are back, but to be perfectly honest, they are my least favorite fireworks at Disneyland. They're shorter. They're not very Disney-fied. They're a little bland in my book. But what I am excited about is over at DCA as part of their Viva Navidad, they do a great job of celebrating Hispanic holidays, and they've got Mirabel from the new film Encanto, which I was saying I just got to see and really enjoyed. She is appearing at the park to promote the new film.
And you can, of course, see Santa Claus and Disney characters dressed in their holiday outfits. I believe Mickey and Minnie actually have new outfits to wear. And the fun continues at the Downtown Disney District and hotels of the Disneyland Resort with decor and treats galore. The holidays are here, and I'm glad to see parades and things coming back. I really like Viva Navidad. I think that's one of my favorite Disney Christmas things I've ever gotten to experience. It is just a blast. Total street party vibes. Yes. It's so much fun. Love that show.
Yes, the Coco show with the Coco puppet.
Oh, yes.
Done out there in the past. I'm not sure. I think that's back this year. And that's also, that's down by the Paradise Gardens. And that's definitely worth checking out.
I didn't get to see that, but they when I was there, they had the Miguel puppet out doing meet and greets, which was neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's great. Another thing that I really love at California Adventure during the holidays is the holiday food booths. And you can pick up a sip and stroll pass, save a little bit of money if you're planning on eating your way around California Adventure.
Yes, and there are plenty of things for you to try, that's for sure. Disney's shared a first look at some of the characters that you will get to meet aboard Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. I'm really kind of surprised that they went with alien species, because most of the time when we see Star Wars characters in the land or the rides, they're humanoid, I guess. We're starting with
someone's going to be putting on a lot of blue makeup every day.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine how long in the chair in the mornings? Captain Reela Keevan will be the Halcyon's captain, the leader of the space liner. She is a strong and divisive leader, endearing herself to both her crew and her passengers by being fair to all and cool under pressure. But she also has an adventurous history that I'm sure you will no doubt cover during your time on the Halcyon. Cruise director Linka Mock will be your go-to crew member to discover all of the wonders aboard the Star Cruiser and is the captain's right hand. And then we've got SK-620. This astromech droid is Mock's assistant cruise director. I'm amazed that they're letting a droid be an assistant cruise director.
I was just going to say, I hope this finally means that we're going to get to see that autonomous R2 unit, moving around the space like we were promised we were going to see out in Galaxy's Edge when the first
opened. And he does, he has the ability to be good in a pinch if anything should go awry. So I wonder if he will have any special screwdrivers or something pop out of his unit to fix things, or the possibilities are endless. And then we've also got Sammy the Mechanic, which is the ship's newest mechanic crew member. He is good-natured and enthusiastic, very personable, and super eager to prove himself. And then we've got D-309, another droid that you will see on view screens aboard the cruiser. Her responsibility is running ship logistics, so she knows everyone and everything happening on board. But she loves to talk with passengers.
My guess is that this one is going to be pre-recorded CGI segments that we're going to see on video screens, not an actual animatronic or actor.
Yeah, when I saw this, I thought of Star Tours and Alice and Janney's droid character.
Yes, and Star Tours, exactly.
And then we've got First Order Lieutenant Harmon Croy. Because while you are aboard this luxury Star Cruiser, this is a bad time for the Resistance. They're battling the First Order. The story takes place in between episodes 8 and 9 of the sequel trilogy. And the ambitious and intimidating Lieutenant Croy is on special assignment to root out and expose any Resistance fighters who are rumored to be aboard the ship. Guests will be able to choose between helping him or supporting the Resistance, or just sitting back and letting it all play out in front of them.
They made a point. In fact, Scott Trowbridge was just on stage a couple hours ago talking about Galactic Star Cruiser and made a point saying you can participate as much or as little as you want. If you want to go full on cosplay, LARP your heart out, interact with all the characters, you can. If you just want to sit back in your shorts and your t-shirt and drink and pay no attention to any of the storyline, you can do that too. However, you are going to be paying the same amount of money if you don't participate as if you do. So this is really an experience. You know, if you're spending a couple $1,000s per person per night, you want to get out as much as you can. And it really sounds like the kind of thing where you're going to get out as much out of it as you put into it.
Yes. Fingers crossed for that autonomous animatronic.
Fingers crossed.
Yes. This was announced earlier this week, but reiterated today at D23. Mickey's Toontown at Disneyland is getting a full reimagining and will reopen in early 2023.
We already knew that Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway from Disney's Hollywood Studios was going to be cloned out west. But now we know that there's going to be a makeover of a good portion of the land. Some of the existing playground areas are going to be pulled out and replaced with more green space and more natural-looking playground. There's a tree that is going to have giant roots that kids are going to be able to climb up and over, and also a new fountain featuring characters. It's going to be called Centennial Park. and it's, I think the idea is to give families with really little kids more opportunities to kind of relax and play in a less structured environment. I was also happy that they announced that the Hollywood Hills, the hills behind Toontown are coming back, but they're no longer going to be like the Hollywood Hills. Now they're going to have more of a rural look to them.
Oh. That sounds lovely.
Yeah, they showed us a bit of the concept art of like farmlands.
Cool. One of my favorite additions to Magic Kingdom over the years was the hub grass. Just having a place to sit and kind
just having a place to sit. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And it's really when you're walking on concrete all day, sitting on hard seats, it's nice to just have something soft and natural to relax. I've also read an article with rumors that there's going to be some sort of augmented reality component maybe brought in here with character interactions done through your smartphone screen.
Okay.
So, we know they've been toying with those kind of ideas for a while. And so I think, you might see the next level of Play Disney interaction in the app used over here in Toontown.
Yes. This will open, as I said, in 2023 alongside Mickey Minnie's Runaway Railway. So the entire land will close in March 2022 to get ready for that. So be prepared if you're going to Disneyland.
So go and ride Roger Rabbit now while you can.
Yes. It is conveniently blocked out by trees in this concept art here. But I assume since they're adding changes to it that it is safe, but obviously nothing is true.
Roger Rabbit is still, it's still sticking around. There's going to be some tweaks. They're adding Jessica Rabbit as a private detective. We've talked about that before. But that attraction is still expected to stay.
Yes. And that is everything running through in record time.
Amazing.
For News in the Queue. And before we get to this week's main attraction, let's get a quick word from our sponsor.
Here at Destinations with Character Travel, we offer the best experience with your travels. Need to visit the thrilling Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World? Maybe lounge about on a Disney cruise or any other major cruise line? No problem. So if you're looking for a stress and hassle-free vacation, visit us at www.destinationswithcharacter.com. Contact us today and let us plan a magical vacation for you and your family.
It's time for the main attraction!
And of course, this week's main attraction is something that literally came out this morning. It was the Connections, A Look to the Future of Disney Parks, Experiences, and Products panel, hosted by Disney Parks Experiences and Products Chairman Josh D'Amaro at Destination D23. And they shared quite a bit of stuff. Some things we've heard about before.
Destination D23? I've never heard of it. What's that?
I don't... What's the thing that you're at now?
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah.
There was a lot of things. I mean, a lot of little things. I will say, you know, there was nothing truly groundbreaking. There's no huge, huge headline. So if you were coming to this event expecting to find out something really earth-shaking, you were in the wrong place. But we did get some nice little bits of details. And I will say that the crowd gave Jeff D'Amaro a very warm reception. There was no sign of anyone booing him on stage. even though this event is concentrated on Walt Disney World, they did kick off giving us sort of an overview of stuff from all around the world, beginning with Disneyland Paris.
Yes, so the 30th anniversary of Disneyland Paris is taking place next year, and we got to look at Mickey's new costume for the celebration, kind of taking on the iridescent look of the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World right now.
Kind of similar. A little more purple than blue.
Yeah. It will start on March 6th, and it will include new shows, entertainment, and decor along Main Street USA, new costumes for Mickey and the gang. It will also bring a new Castle Hub show and the return of parades and shows like Disney Stars of Parade and Disney Illuminations. And then we also got
gave us a little preview of Avengers Campus, which is currently under construction in Walt Disney Studios Paris, and that is going to be opening in summer. We don't have any more specifics than that.
Yes. Hong Kong Disneyland, we got an update on their Frozen themed land coming to the park, complete with two new rides. I believe it's the Frozen Ever After boat ride and a mine car coaster.
New in air quotes.
Yes.
It's basically a clone of Epcot's Frozen Ever After ride and a modified clone of Seven Dwarfs.
Yes. While this image here is concept art, they did show us some construction footage of the minecart attraction. And at Tokyo Disney Resort, Fantasy Springs is still under construction, set to open in 2023. While you see concept art here in our article, they did show us some more construction footage of that as well.
Yep. And it's that land looks massive.
Oh my goodness, yes. And that land will also house a hotel similarly to Hotel MiraCosta, as far as connecting it to the park. Shanghai Disney Resort is celebrating its 5th anniversary, and we got a look at what the Zootopia dark ride being developed for the Zootopia land. They showed us footage of Yax the Yak, an animatronic inside the ride being worked on. But they did not share photos of it afterward.
Animatronic Yak confirmed.
Yes. I believe that's the Yak voiced by Tommy Chong, too. Mm. So I wonder if he will be lending his voice to that. For the Disney Wish, we got an announcement for two new Broadway-style shows coming to the Walt Disney Theater aboard. First being a reimagined take of Disney's The Little Mermaid, kind of focusing more on female empowerment and learning the power of one's own voice, with new special effects and theatrical design, choreography, and a reimagined script and score.
We got a little preview of this. They had a singer come out and perform for Unfortunate Souls, but it was very different from the version you might know from the movie or the Broadway play. It was a kind of jazzy swing version of it. Really liked it a lot. And that's going to be the closing night when you are on the Disney Wish. That will be the finale of your cruise. On the first night of your cruise, you're going to get to see Disney Seize the Adventure, which is going to be a new show involving Goofy, Captain Minnie, and Tinkerbell, plus a bunch of other Pixar and Disney fans. And that's going to be the show that kicks off your cruise.
And then the Disneyland Resort Imagineers are hard at work to bring new magic to the Disneyland Hotel with elements inspired by characters and stories from Walt Disney Animation Studios. There will be a newly redesigned pool and recreation area, a variety of room types.
They showed us a little bit of the room interiors, and they're going to use Walt's own sketches as inspiration for some of the design elements, and there's a strong Sleeping Beauty vibe. They've taken elements from Sleeping Beauty, the background paintings, and incorporated them into the room designs.
Cool. And of course, Mickey's Toontown will be reimagined for 2023, which we talked about before. They also announced that Downtown Disney District will be getting a new evolution, with work starting in January 2022, and this will be a multi-year project.
Yeah, the former AMC movie theater is going to finally be completely demolished, and they're going to be replacing it with green space, event space, and some new retail and dining options. The sad news is this means that Earl of Sandwich is finally going to go away.
Aww.
So go and get your meatball and roast beef sandwiches now while you can.
And this next bit was honestly the most surprising part of the entire thing for me, that Magic Bands are coming to Disneyland next year.
Yeah, this
finally.
Is kind finally. I mean, I'm curious to see how much adoption there is. You know, for a long time, there was a lot of speculation that the people who go to the California parks would not want to wear something like that. But this is going to be the Magic Band Plus. The new version has color-changing lights and gesture control and haptics. Is going to be coming out to California, and you'll be able to use it with the Lightning Lanes and Genie Plus that is also going to be coming out there. In addition to that, they told us a little bit more about Hey Disney, which is the new Amazon Alexa app that's going to be available for free in all Walt Disney World and Disneyland Resort hotel rooms next year. And you're also going to be able to pay to download that and use it on your Amazon device at home.
And you got one of those, or you will get
one
of those.
Yeah, supposedly all us attendees are getting free Amazon show devices. So, yay!
Yay! And DeMauro also revealed that World of Color and Fantasmic will finally be coming back to the Disneyland Resort sometime next year.
Yes, Fantasmic will also be coming back to Walt Disney World, which is very exciting.
Yes. We also got a look at a new middle grade book series focusing on the world of Society of Explorers and Adventurers, as well as a reconfirmation of the series currently in development for Disney Plus.
I know these are intended for kind of a middle school young adult audience, but I love the whole Disney Seas lore, and
yeah.
I'm really curious to see how they tie all the different parks together with it.
You should read it. And then we got a reconfirmation that a Walt Disney statue is coming to Dreamer's Point at Epcot. We got a look at the clay sculpture being made for it, which was very cool to see. We also got the reveal.
Nice to have confirmation that project still worked moving forward.
Yes. That I feel like they haven't talked about it since they announced it in 2019.
Exactly.
DeMauro also shared the name of what I assume will be the electric umbrella replacement, Connections
exactly.
Cafe and Eatery, located in World Celebration.
Yep. They showed us a concept art. Lots of people, lots of high ceilings, bright natural wood. Looks very cheerful and a little less grungy than electric umbrella.
At least electric umbrella had some pizzazz. You can't deny that.
You want to call it pizzazz? All right, I'll call it funk.
We also got the confirmation of an opening window for Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. I keep almost saying Mission Breakout. We'll open to guests summer 2022. I know.
Yep.
And this will be located.
Summer could be May, summer could be September, who knows?
Yes, at any point in there. As you probably already know, this is a family thrill coaster. It will be Disney's first reverse launch, and one of the longest fully enclosed coasters in the world. And we also got
the news that. Glenn Close, I'm just very excited because Glennie went to my college. So we're both alumni of William & Mary. And so I'm glad she's still getting work. She is going to be reprising her role from the Guardians of the Galaxy film as Nova Prime, which I thought she was killed by Thanos, but I guess in the Disney theme park universe that never happened. So she'll be back for probably a pre-show video.
I'm pretty sure, and correct me if I'm wrong, but all of Xandar was like obliterated in the movie.
Well, you know, literally in the film they say Xandar was decimated, which technically would mean that only 10% of the population was killed. But I think they probably meant it more figuratively, as in, they're not around so much anymore. But this is the Marvel theme park universe in which nothing bad has ever happened to anyone and everyone is still alive.
And Thanos doesn't exist, and Ultron is the big baddie.
Yes, and we still care about Ultron.
Yes. One thing I want to point out, not to harp on it for too long, but Star-Lord has his helmet on in this photo. Could they not get Chris Pratt to shoot his stuff? Did they have to use a stand-in? Why isn't his face on this poster?
That's an excellent question. You know, we were told that they were going to be filming with the original director and actors at the same time they were filming Guardians of the Galaxy 3, but then there were all sorts of delays with that film's production. So, I'm not really sure who or what will appear, but I mean, we know Chris Pratt does not mind showing up in theme park rides because he's all over Universal's Jurassic World attractions. Hopefully he will also appear and he can join his friend Domhnall Gleeson from both Harry Potter and Galaxy's Edge in both resorts.
It could be nothing, but it's just something I noticed that I thought was interesting. Yeah. And then we got a look at Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser's lightsaber training. Josh Damaro did bring out the faded real lightsaber that you will not get to touch or use to show off on stage. But we did get to see a video demonstration.
Well, he showed it off in person in front of us. He activated it in front of us. Which was cool, but I want to point a couple things out. One, he activated it, he didn't deactivate it. It came out, but then he held it very awkwardly in his hand, like cradling it like a baby. And then someone walked out from offstage and he like handed it off to them and they walked it offstage holding it very awkwardly, like this. So we'll see, I guess it's still a prototype. They still got some ways to go. We'll see if it gets a little, less, it's really cool seeing the blade come out. But it's obvious that it's not quite, exactly what we've seen on screen all these years.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like a glorified tape measure thing, right? So like one wrong move and that thing's going to collapse.
Exactly. You have to hold it really gingerly to keep it from just flopping over like the Eiffel Tower and soaring.
Yeah. But the lightsaber training, you will be using a fully extended physical like lightsaber similar to what you would see in the land. And the training remote will shoot out lasers that you will have to block with your saber. We also got a look at some of the bridge aboard the ship and how the interactivity there will work, which was cool.
It looks kind of like the world's largest game of Missile Command.
Yeah.
They showed off one person using joystick to target and another person slapping a button to shoot. And they're shooting down TIE fighters out of a big view screen. It looked really cool. It looks like a little bit of a cross between the Millennium Falcon ride and an old Missile Command arcade machine.
And we also got a look at the performer who will be the Galactic Superstar inside the Supper Club. I think her name is Gaia.
Gaia. Yes. She's apparently a superstar singer who just happens to be working on a cruise ship, possibly because she's a spy for the Resistance. But I guess we'll find out more about that in the future.
Drama. And then we got a construction update for Tron with no opening window shared. Will it ever open? Who knows?
In a later panel about transportation at Disney World, they did mention that the train has had at least one of its locomotives completely rebuilt and refurbished in anticipation of reopening the train. They mentioned how that has been closed because of Tron construction, but they are working towards getting that reopened.
Well, that's great. Hopefully they'll have something to share with us soon. There's still lots of dirt over there, but mostly vertical at this point. And then to close out the panel, they showed us Project Exo, a full-body exoskeleton system to kind of revolutionize how guests meet characters in the parks in the future.
Yeah, this is neat. They had an actor who was wearing what looked like a combination of stilt boots and giant arm extensions that basically made him the scale of the Incredible Hulk, maybe, or a Wampa from Star Wars. And it's neat. They've got these muscles that are made out of 3D-printed latticework that kind of flex. It's got a weight-bearing system that takes the weight off of the actor's back and shoulders and instead directs it down into the ground. Articulated fingers that they said could pick up a taco. So that's maybe a little reference to which characters they think this might be used for in the future.
Of course, they said that this project was in early development, so there's no kind of time frame as to when we could see this added to the land. But I mean, seeing the Hulk perhaps one day would be absolutely insane.
Yeah. You know, years and years ago, Universal very briefly had a giant inflatable costume of the Incredible Hulk, and it was goofy as hell. So it looks like this system is much more impressive, and I can't wait to see it developed and turned into a real thing for the parks.
Yes, but that is everything that we had to discuss today, and I managed to keep you under an hour.
Thank you. I have just barely enough time to eat my turkey sandwich and get back into the next panel. Thank you very much.
Before I send you guys off to enjoy the rest of your Saturday, I have one listener thank you to share. In case you didn't know, we have a 4-tier subscription plan on attractionsmagazine.com/store. And if you pick Club or VIP when you sign up, the week after you subscribe, you get a shout out from us on the podcast. And this week, we would like to thank Christy DeLorme. Thank you so very much for supporting us.
Thank you, Christy. And I believe that this is when I come in and remind everyone, first of all, to check out our sponsor, Destinations with Character Travel. Thank you so much for your continued support. And then please head on over to Apple Podcasts to give us a 5-star rating on this podcast. Please leave us a review. And finally, I just want to share with you where you can find more attractions coverage through the week. I am Seth, and you can find me at theunofficialguides.com, on Twitter at the UG Series, or on Instagram at theunofficialguides. And Brittany, where can they find you?
You can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram. Also, every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractionsmagazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you've been hanging out with us for the past hour or so. And until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, try something new, but most importantly, have fun. And we'll see you next time. We'll be right back.